I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. This was a scene in Frankfurt, Germany today. Investors hit by last year's collapse of Lehman Brothers protested their loss of savings. They marched outside the company's former offices. One man shouted, "Criminals! Bank robbers!" Lehman Brothers folded 1 year ago today. The crisis that engulfed the firm has caused some to question, well, the whole kit and caboodle, capitalism.
We're seeing the end of capitalism. The end of capitalism as we know it, and I say good riddance.
That was filmmaker Michael Moore speaking last year with CNN's Larry King. Moore's upcoming movie has an ironic title, Capitalism, a Love Story. But it's just the latest blast against capitalism. Decades ago, German playwright Bertolt Brecht had his say. In the wake of the 1929 Wall Street crash, Brecht wrote about New York. It's as if he was writing last year. The World's Alex Galifant has the story.
Weeks after the crash, Brecht put pen to paper and came up with this, a poem called The Late Lamented Fame of the Giant City of New York. At the start, New Yorkers are on top of the world.
What people they were. Their boxers, the strongest. Their inventors, the most practical. Their trains, the fastest. And also the most crowded. And it all looked like lasting 1,000 years. For the people of the city of New York put it about themselves that their city was built on the rock and hence indestructible.
Sounds familiar, and it becomes more so as the poem goes on. Wall Street crashes. New York City goes into freefall.
What a bankruptcy. How great a fame has departed. What a discovery that their system of communal life displays the same miserable flaw as that of more modest people.
2009 is plenty different from 1929, but not entirely different, according to Robert Cohn, a professor at New York University.
I think the comparison is unavoidable.
Brecht had never visited New York when he wrote his poem, but that didn't stop him from having an opinion about the place. The poem was shaped by Brecht's admiration for Karl Marx.
It is a vision of capitalism that kind of in the waves, the way Marx describes it, which is it has its high moments and then constantly self-destructs, rebuilds itself, and this kind of cyclical vision kind of reveals its logic if we read the poem today and we see the obvious parallels.
For people like Brecht, the collapse in 1929 was a confirmation of suspicions that market capitalism had a destructive power.
This is Mark Silberman, who studies the work of Bertolt Brecht at the University of Wisconsin. For Silberman, Brecht's doubts about capitalism emerged from a specific time and place, Germany in the 1920s. After the trauma and defeat of the First World War, Germany embarked on a bold experiment in constitutional democracy, the Weimar Republic. But while Germany's politics were changing, other aspects of life were stagnant.
Brecht is living in a Weimar Germany that was completely burdened by tradition, dress codes, cultural values, ideals, and so on.
So young artists like Bertolt Brecht and his composer collaborator Kurt Weill looked elsewhere for inspiration. They looked west.
For many of the intellectuals, middle-class people who felt constrained, America was a breath of fresh air. The United States seemed like the place where everything was possible.
Before Brecht came to criticize America, he loved America and the fruits of American capitalism.
Anything from Fordist industrial production to dancing girls dancing in steps, which is a kind of a version of an industrialized form of dance. Music, gestures and attitudes that Germans imagined Americans had, like being cool, being pragmatic.
Brecht devoured American culture, American thought.
He read Upton Sinclair's The Jungle, Frank Norris, The Pit.
And he put America, his imagined America, center stage in his writing. Mix a cocktail of Brecht, Weimar, Marxism, and America, and you get things like this.
Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why.
This is Marilyn Manson's cover of Alabama Song, written by Bertolt Brecht and Kurt Weill. The original features in an opera called The Rise and Fall of the City of Mahagoni. It's a parable of capitalism. Mahagoni is an imaginary city in Alabama, coincidentally the state that Lehman Brothers got its start back in the 19th century. It's a city of pleasure. At the start, that's shown to be a good thing. You can buy anything, everything you want. But as the opera develops, prosperity gives way to savage greed.
Oh, moon of Alabama.
What we find is a kind of market capitalism where everything is defined by money. Everything can be bought, including human relations. Market capitalism is shown to destroy all social connections.
In Mahagoni, capitalism is cutthroat. The city is like a net cast out to snare edible birds. But by the end of the opera, the city itself is destroyed. It's a harsh depiction of capitalism. But Brecht didn't see that as the end of things, says scholar Mark Silberman.
This is an intimate part of Brecht's thinking, I believe, that moments of crisis, moments of destruction, are also possibilities for developing something new.
We have once in a generation chance to act boldly and turn adversity into opportunity, and to use this crisis as a chance to transform our economy for the 21st century.
Now, don't believe everything you hear. President Obama is not a Marxist. He believes in the apparatus of capitalism and the power of the markets.
Oh, show us the way to the next little dollar.
The president spoke on Wall Street yesterday. He had strong words for a rebounding financial industry.
The old ways that led to this crisis cannot stand. And to the extent that some have so readily returned to them, underscores the need for change and change now. History cannot be allowed to repeat itself.
For we must find the next little dollar.
Bertolt Brecht's Germany became Hitler's Germany. The writer fled to a new home, California.
I tell you we must die.
For The World, I'm Alex Galifant.
I tell you we must die.